have run a lot longer because it was very well done. But they didn't know about show placement back then. Fox didn't. They were new to the game. And so they kept moving us around every couple of weeks and trying to find a good time spot for us. Well, the people that were watching us couldn't find us anymore and gave up on us. So after 2 years, it was over. But it was a lot of fun. And the interesting thing about that is that Dolly Parton was in the film. And when we made the TV series, her baby sister played Dora Lee. On 9 to 5. Dolly's the first of 13 children.
I had no idea.
And Rachel's the 13th child. And she's just as beautiful as Dolly. And it was so much fun to work with her. And then...
Did you play Roz?
No, I played a made-up character for the show.
Oh.
And how long was that on?
It was on 2 years. Okay. It should have been on a lot longer. And then here I am now... doing it
in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
This is Sally's third show with us. We started off in 2011 with Hello, Dolly. And then she came back in 2012 and did the Full Monty. And now we've got her here for 9 to 5.
Tom,
yes.
Before this, because you play my boss, Mr. Hart,
I do.
Who I'm secretly lusting after in the show.
But who is secretly lusting after everyone else.
But me. I saw you in Les Mis at Riverside, and you played the wonderfully evil character Javert.
Javert, the inspector.
But what did you do before that at Riverside?
No, that was it.
That was it.
So this is your second time.
This is my second
time. And you're
time.
Local, and it's only your second time.
And it's 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, my God. You have to be in every show from
it's
now on.
It's just wonderful.
But it's not your second show in your whole life. You've done other shows.
No, I've been doing this for the last 25, 30 years.
You started, well, we have to, you know, talk about Stafford High School a little bit since that's local.
Mm-hmm.
But did you start in theater in high school?
Well, theater really something that I've always did. In elementary school, I did plays. You know, I was
really?
In the Christmas pageant at church before then.
What did you play?
I play Tom Sawyer.
Oh,
in the Christmas pageant.
I'm told that I sang "Happy Birthday" to Baby Jesus in my first appearance, and then, as all good, Methodist boys do, you work your way up the ladder from,
to Tom Sawyer,
from shepherd to wise man to Joseph.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom and I actually met Susan. I performed with Tom in 1776.
Not the year, but the show, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you never know. Maybe another one. But,
really?
Yes.
I was a waitress at the Last Supper.
So we met doing that show, and then Tom informed me while we were in rehearsals that he lived right down the road from Riverside. And, of course, with my crazy schedule at Riverside, he was so kind to, we would commute back and forth.
It was great having someone to share that drive to Washington.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was only fitting to, my wheels were turning already. Okay, what am I going to get Tom in at Riverside?
So did Tom even have to audition for Riverside, or did you just have it in your head what he was going
to
do?
Tom didn't have to really audition for me, but I had him come in as a formality to... just sing a little bit of the Les Mis stuff, but I was set on.
I had seen Tom Simpson in Les Mis playing Javert, and he was wonderful in that role, and it's a highly dramatic role. And then I also had traveled up to D.C. to Ford Theater to see Patrick and Tom in 1776 in another serious role. And so Patrick called me before I came here to do this, and he said, I want to talk to you about casting, and I want to run it by you. I'm using Tom Simpson to play Mr. Hart. I just stopped dead in my tracks. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, oh, but he's not funny.
Oh.
He said, oh, yes, he is. I said, well, I haven't witnessed that yet. And he said, you've got to trust me on this. He's funny.
This is the first time I've heard this conversation.
So I get to the first day of rehearsal here, and Tom Simpson is hilarious. And I turned to Patrick and gave him a thumbs up.
Oh, and is that connection how, Patrick, you first got Sally to come to Fredericksburg?
What the connection with Tom?
Yes.
Sally works at a summer stock theater. It's actually probably one of the oldest stock theaters in the country, called the Ogunquit Playhouse up in Maine. That's where, when you go into this theater, you see the pictures of some of the Betty old Davis stars and, that had worked there from years and years ago. And I worked there in 2002. I did Chicago prior to a time that Sally did Chicago there. When we had decided to do Hello Dolly here based on an audience poll, it was a repeat visit for Hello Dolly at the theater. So as a artistic director, I thought, all right, if we're going to do it a second time, we got to do something special with it. So I started making some calls to friends, and I said, you know, suggestions. And they said, well, Sally Struthers, you've got
that's
to get
special
her for Dolly. And so...
Because I had done it in Algonquin.
Yes.
And you'd gotten word of that.
Yeah. And so I was kind of, all right, let's go for it. And I had struck up a nice relationship with Sally's publicist, Pamela, and the rest is history. She's here for her third time.
And the first year that she was here, what was the first year you were here, Sally?
2011. Yeah.
And that was for?
Hello, Dolly.
And then the next show you did here in
2013, I did Full Monty.
And then you're here now for 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite of those three?
Oh.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It's you know, it's like asking a mother who is your favorite child. I love each role for such different reasons. I mean, I love playing Dolly because it's a tour de force. I mean, you're always on stage and you wear these huge, beautiful costumes, and I get to sing 7-8 songs in the show.
It's Thornton Wilder.
Thornton Wilder wrote the original play, the Matchmaker.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then I loved doing Full Monty, which came from the British movie about the guys in a town that were all unemployed and were trying to figure out a way to make money, and they decided they would put on a show and strip for everyone at the strip club. And I played the cigarette-smoking elderly lady who just shows up down at the warehouse with her piano one day and says, I'll be your pianist. So... That's a really fun role to play because I got to just basically do anything that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then this is fun because I get to play a lascivious, sex-starved executive assistant who is so crazy about Mr. Hart that she shudders when she thinks about him.
You're laughing, Tom.
I am. Great fun.
We're talking today with Patrick Ahern, Producing Artistic Director at Riverside Theater, Sally Struthers and Tom Simpson about 9 to 5, and we're going to continue our fun talk when we get back. Thanks for listening. We're coming back on because for some reason our ads aren't running, so we're going to continue our conversation. You have to go with the flow here on radio. Oh, my goodness. So tell for those people who might not know the story about 9 to 5, it is a comedy. Patrick, tell us a little bit more about the story and how you're presenting it at Riverside.
Well, I mean, it's many people probably saw the film back 35 years ago, but it's these three women that work in an office that are managed by this lovely boss, Franklin Hart Jr., and he is not particularly pleasant to these three women, and it is the pursuit of these women to get revenge on their boss, and I think it's a classic story of the little girl makes good. They do get their revenge somewhat, and
yeah, 1970s.
And take it away, you go ahead, Sally.
Well, each one of the three female leads is a different type, and Mr. Hart has got his eyes on Dora Lee, who Dolly Parton played in the film, and keeps talking about her bra size and just has these fantasies about her. And there's a woman that pretty much runs the whole place, and her name is Violet. And he calls her a girl and gives her zero respect, and she's completely frustrated with him. And the third character is Judy, and she's just recently divorced and has to go to the workplace and doesn't know what she's doing. And Violet takes her under her wing and says, I'm going to teach you how to work here at this company, but you've got to take notes and you've got to do everything fast because we don't have any time to waste around here.
9 to 5.
Yeah.
And Tom, what is your character like in the play?
Well, Mr. Hart is the boss, and he is in control in every way that you can imagine. He is taking advantage of his situation, being the head of the company, and he allows and makes everyone else work very, very hard for him. He has quite an eye for the ladies and is quite enamored with his new secretary, Dora Lee, who is a bombshell.
And who plays Dora Lee?
Victoria Mayo.
Yeah, we have a great girl that has worked for us before, Victoria Mayo. She played the Lady of the Lake in our production of Spamalot. Terrific voice, terrific personality, and she
and a lovely figure.
Dolly. Yeah, and a lovely figure, yes, to boot. Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a great cast. I mean, the ensemble is strong. Beautifully, the show is beautifully directed by Patty DeBeck, who is a theater professor at Virginia Commonwealth University. But
And choreographed.
And choreographed,
beautifully.
Yes. And she's also a veteran of, 20 Broadway shows. I think Patty has either been involved in as a performer or as an assistant choreographer. She worked with Tommy Toon for many years.
I met Patty DeBeck 21 years ago when she choreographed the Broadway version of Grease. And we became friends 21 years ago, and she came to see me in Dolly 4 years ago, and I had the chance to introduce her to Patrick Ahern, sitting here to my right, and they talked, and the next thing you know, she's doing shows.
Isn't it funny how one thing leads to another? Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about how small a world the performing arts are, and they really are. Everyone, you meet people through other people that you know, and you meet someone 20 years earlier, and then you work with them 20 years later, and you pick up right where you left off.
Exactly. I worked with Liz Torres on All in the Family. For one season, she played the housekeeper on All in the Family, the Hispanic housekeeper. And 35, 40 years later, I worked with her for 7 years on Gilmore Girls, and she played the town's Stars Hollow's dance teacher, Miss Patty. So Liz and I did pick up right where we left off. You know, 35, 40 years later. And the whatever director we had every week, they would separate us like bad children in the classroom. Because all of us I would do is laugh.
Yeah,
girls, be quiet. It's a film set.
You mentioned All in the Family, and it was fascinating what you were telling me before we came on the air about how it was taped two different days.
We taped each individual episode twice. On one day.
We
would rehearse it for 4 days, 3 days in a rehearsal hall, fourth day down on the set with the cameramen and the sound men so they could learn the dance. They could learn to move with us. The cameras had to be on wheels and move back and forth, and the guys on the boom with the mic had an operator that had to push them back and forth, and it became a dance between the crew and the cast to do continuous shots. And we would tape a 5 o'clock show for an audience, and then we'd have a meal break, and the script girl would tell us how much overtime we went into because of the length of the laughter. And then we would make cuts during dinner, which was always the most difficult part because you had spent 4.5 days doing it this way, and over a dinner break you had to learn what lines not to say and how to change the blocking to accommodate it. And then another audience would come at 8 o'clock, and we'd do it for them. And then it would go to an editor who took the best pieces of both tapings and put it together and made one show.
And it was live laughter.
Live laughter, yes.
And we were also talking, I was asking about the nerves, because after all of these years performing, and you were saying you still get nervous.
Oh, I get so frightened, my bowels liquefy. I just, everything goes crazy in me. Yeah. But I think it's those nerves that make you a better performer, because that means your adrenaline's up and you're just going to fly across the stage, which
keeps
I think
you
is
on edge.
Yes. I like having that. It's difficult to deal with at the moment, but I know it makes you more present.
You think so. Patrick, do you get, as the artistic director and producer, do you get nervous?
I mean, I guess you get somewhat nervous if there's things going on or the unexpected that could happen, but not really. Not as a producer, not just a director. I don't get nervous that much.
But you're also a performer. What about when you perform, do you get nervous?
Yeah, I think you. There's always that bit of... It's a good nervous for me. It's not fright as much as it is that adrenaline rush.
That
kick of the excitement of something new. Or, I mean, every time you go into it, there's always that unknown. You know, even if you're the most prepared and you can be the most perfect that you can be. I mean, in our daily lives, we're thrown curves. So that it's just that you have to do it in front of people when you're on the stage. So so from that sense, yeah, a little bit of nerves, but not as much as when I first started.
You're right. You never know what's going to happen.
And
you
I
just
think
have to
that's
go with the
excitement
flow
of life.
Well,
here.
And after you've done it for a while, you realize that no matter what happens, you are going to get through it. The show will continue on, and one way or the other, you're going to come to the end of it.
And I think the audiences enjoy that. You know, when I have been in situations, I'm sure Sally and Tom have been too, you know, there's something that goes wrong that is you can't believe it's happening, and sometimes it causes people to start to laugh and break up. And I think an audience, when they're let in on it, it makes for even a more exciting performance or an evening for them as well. Yeah.
That's Patrick Ahern of Riverside Center, and we're here with Sally Struthers and Tom Simpson. We're going to continue our fun conversation when we come back. This is WFVA.
And now, another exciting episode of Molar Man.
Ugh, I have the worst headache. The entire side of my face hurts. I'm so stressed.
This sounds like a case for Molar Man.
Excuse me, ma'am. It's not stress. It's your teeth.
Molar Man.
You're probably grinding them at night. That can cause a pretty nasty headache.
Molar Man, what should I do?
Call South Point Quality Dental.
South Point Quality Dental?
Yes, Dr. Swanson and his staff will confirm the diagnosis and recommend a treatment plan.
Oh, Molar Man, you're my hero.
Make Dr. Joshua Swanson and his team at South Point Quality Dental your partners in dental health. South Point Quality Dental is in Massaponics on South Point Parkway across from Cracker Barrel. Learn more at QualityDentalVA.com. That's QualityDentalVA.com. And tune in again next time for another exciting adventure of Molar Man.
Stafford County invites you to tour around your own hometown.
Patrick Ahern from the Riverside Center here through May 3rd. It's 9 to 5 at the Riverside Center, Patrick.
9 to 5 with Sally Struthers is back in town. And boy, our audience is going to eat her up in this show. You will just love her and you will love this cast. You all know the great song, 9 to 5, written by Dolly Parton. You get to hear it every night at the Riverside Center. Lots of laughs, lots of fun. Great music you do not want to miss. 9 to 5 at the Riverside Center. Open now until May the 3rd. And get your tickets.
And don't wait.
Don't wait. No, you got to get them now because they're going to go very fast. When Sally Struthers is in town, thousands of people show up at the Riverside Center. So get your tickets soon. You do not want to miss 9 to 5.
Stafford Tourism is a proud sponsor of Town Talk with Ted. To find out details on a wide variety of great local events, visit TourStaffordVA.com.
My name is Meera Batra. I have been in this country 32 years, and this is how I live united. America has always been the land of promise, and in my community, many families have come for a better life. Coming from another culture myself, I know the desire to become part of a community, to feel at home, and to gain the tools for our children and families to succeed. So I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to look beyond their histories and to see what opportunities are available. We help them get involved with their kids' schools, network within the community, and when we do, we unite them. We make the community stronger. What I do is something I wish someone had done for me, and I am so grateful I am able to. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunities and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now from Fredericksburg.today online news, Susan Larson.
We were just all laughing here. I pushed a button earlier to run a commercial and it didn't go. And just talking about mistakes and imperfections are perfection. And then Sally said she had some funny stories about things that have happened to her on stage that she was going to share with us to make me feel better.
I was doing Hello Dolly in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and a huge house, a 3,000-seat theater. And I was in Irene Malloy's hat shop. There's a wonderful scene in there where we're trying to pull one over on Horace Vandegelder, and the boys come and they fall in love with Irene Malloy and her assistant, Minnie Fay, and I'm teaching them how to dance. They've never danced before. And as we're whirling around, the flower shop collapses on stage. The walls just fall over. And while I was dancing with the boys, without missing a beat, I said, Irene, have you paid your rent lately? And we... I was in Broadway in a three-character play called Wally's Cafe with Jimmy Coco and Rita Moreno, and it was a three-act play, and each act is 25 years later. By the third act, I have white hair, but the first act, I'm a young lady trying to make her way to Hollywood. And this is a hamburger-shaped cafe in the middle of the desert, halfway between Los Angeles and Las Vegas.
I've eaten there.
I stop in, and they give me a job as a waitress there. Act one ends with me on stage tap dancing for them. Well, I was so nervous opening night that I knew I had to run off stage and get into my next wig and my next outfit for the second act, where I'm 25 years older than that, and I've been there forever now. And I just left and never came back to finish act one. And Jimmy Coco and Rita Moreno had to make up a whole new ending of act one all by themselves. And I was on Broadway in the female version of The Odd Couple. And we had the Costasuela brothers come down, and we were making them dinner, Olive and I. And I'm the cook, and I'm supposed to go into the kitchen part of the set and open the oven and pull out not a turkey, but a pheasant maybe that is just charred and smoking. And the way it worked is the prop man backstage had a prop bird all burned and, you know, made out of paper mache, and he would add dry ice to it at the last minute and he would pass it through a door from the back of the set that goes into the oven, and I pull it out and carry it out into Olive's living room showing everyone I've burned the dinner. And I don't know if he was sleeping back there or what. Poor Earl. He's not a prop man anymore. And the only thing I could find back there was a half-eaten sandwich. So I had to come out and make up a whole scene about a sandwich.
Oh, my goodness.
What about you? Opening night.
Things happen all the time.
In 9 to 5, opening night, you're playing the male lead in the show.
Well, playing the male lead in the show.
And?
And at one point, my secretary, Dora Lee... It's a long story. They've gotten upset with me, and I am hogtied on a couch. And I say something nasty to Dora Lee, and she puts a gag in my mouth. But she had forgotten to get the gag from off stage. And there was nothing there but pillows, pillows on the couch. And so she grabbed a pillow and stuffed a pillow in my mouth. Because that was the only thing that was there.
Well, we're going to laugh some more, but we have to take a break for ABC News, and then we're going to come back and have some more fun laughs.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to...
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. He made security in opposition to a Palestinian state the big issue in Israel's election. The strategy worked for the prime minister. ABC's Alex Marquardt with more from Jerusalem.
With almost all of the Israeli election results now in, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has pulled off a surprise landslide victory, comfortably beating his rivals. Netanyahu's right-wing Likud party is expected to win a quarter of the Israeli parliament seats and will be charged with forming a coalition government made up of other conservative parties.
Netanyahu's relations with the Obama administration have been frosty. A U.S. Air Force veteran due in court in New York today, Tyrod Pugh, is accused of attempting to provide material support to a terrorist group. Prosecutors say he plotted to travel to Syria to join the Islamic State group. Aaron Schock, an Illinois congressman, has abruptly resigned from Congress. There are questions about his spending of taxpayers' funds. This is ABC News.
It'll be home to 942 bursts of laughter, a 16-pound blackened turkey dinner, and the loudest burp on record. It'll be the site of the most legendary blanket fort ever built. Not to mention the stage of the Great Pillow War of 2016. It'll also be the final resting place of two hamsters and one of the sweetest turtles who will ever live. It will see its fair share of broken windows, broken bones, and broken hearts. But first, you have to find it. Start your home search at Zillow.com or on our family of apps. You can view millions of photos, browse historical pricing data, and even sign up for alerts when new homes hit the market. Because you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. Zillow. Find your way home.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. Local news. Now.
Spotsylvania County Sheriffs have released more information on the fatal shooting that took place early Monday evening in a residence on Harrison Road, where a call came into 911 at 5:45 p.m. from the victim's wife saying she had accidentally shot her husband. According to the police department, when officers arrived, they found the victim, Sean Smith, laying deceased from a single gunshot wound. His wife, Mrs. Smith, is being held without bond at Rappahannock Regional Jail, charged with second-degree murder and use of a firearm in the commission of a felony. A popular scam that normally happens during tax season has hit Stafford County. According to the Stafford Sheriff's Office, a man was conned into paying nearly $2,000 over the phone to someone claiming to be from the IRS and demanding payment, or the victim would face stiff penalties. The man received a second phone call, which appeared to be from the Sheriff's Office, and led him to think that the scam was legit. The Sheriff's Office reminds everyone that neither the IRS nor the Sheriff's Office would ever conduct this type of business with citizens over the phone. Additionally, if you have any concerns about these type of calls, you're urged to report it to authorities first. This is News Talk 1230 WFVA. Time now for your health beat.
An American being treated for Ebola is now in critical condition. He or she, federal health officials haven't said, is being treated at the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. The deadly virus picked up while the patient was working in Sierra Leone. A Nebraska man is recovering from rare lung and liver transplant surgery. Dr. Michael Wyatt is with the University of Colorado Hospital's lung transplant program.
The recipient was just in a unique position to have two specific organ systems that failed far enough to require a transplant of both.
Only 45 lung and liver transplants have ever been done in the U.S. The patient has cystic fibrosis. A new class of drugs that lowers cholesterol can cut the risk of heart attacks in half compared to standard treatment. That's according to new studies presented at the American College of Cardiology.
This is News Talk 1230 WFVA, and it's time now for your Weather Channel forecast. Temperatures will rise slowly as the day goes on today after they hit below the freezing mark overnight. The high for today is only 52, but should be sunny and clear throughout. The next couple days aren't looking much better as Thursday's high is in the low 50s, and Friday will have a high of 48 with a 90% chance of rain. I'm James Matthews for News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now from Fredericksburg.today online news, Susan Larson.
We're continuing our really fun conversation this morning with Sally Struthers, Patrick Ahern, producing artistic director at Riverside Theater, and Tom Simpson. Tom, you were telling us some of the mistakes on stage, and I had to cut you off, but you're going to continue it
There's always another mistake that has happened on stage. That's the, one of the great beauties of being in live theater is there's no shortage of such things. But again, opening night of 9 to 5 here, at one point I actually fly through the air with the greatest of ease, attached to cables, which are drawn up from the rack on the side of the stage, and spike marks are indicated on the rope so they know exactly how high to lift me in this harness. And opening night, they had readjusted the cables. And so as I came up, I brushed, my head brushed the top of the stage right at the proscenium, the header that was there.
We lost the audience after that. They were so worried about Tom, they stopped laughing.
I was perfectly fine. I was unscathed. But it put the fear of God in everyone.
I went back at intermission. I said to Tom, I'm so sorry. I forgot to tell you that we had a sub on the flies, and he worked Peter Pan. So,
has that been remedied now?
Oh, yes. No, it was quickly remedied.
But you asked me earlier, do you ever get nervous as a producing artistic
yes.
director? That's a moment where I got nervous. I went, oh, my God, where's it going?
We're flying.
Oh, my.
But you know, as we were talking earlier, it's the unexpected that makes it interesting sometimes. I mean, as long as nobody gets hurt.
Exactly.
You know, it's can be fun for the actors on stage, and, of course, it's always lots of fun for the audience as well.
The kids at home have gotten me hooked on YouTube, and with my television situation, we have a contraption called TiVo.
Yes.
And so we can dial up YouTube on that big screen TV. And somebody said, you've got to go to this one little filmette of a young lady in either a high school or a college production of The Miracle Worker, the story of Helen Keller. And this girl is obviously totally into character, this young girl playing a young Helen Keller, and she's walking around in front of her mother and her teacher, and she walked right off the stage and fell into the audience.
Oh, no.
And had to crawl back up and continue the scene. I'm telling you, the funniest. You know, in the Three Stooges, the last living stooge was the one that played Mo, and with the straight bowl cut hair.
Yes.
And they were interviewing him when he was elderly on TV, and someone asked him what he thought was the reason for their success, their comedy success, because they were so physical and always getting hurt and hurting each other. And he said, there's nothing funnier than that momentary loss of dignity.
And we can all relate to it.
Absolutely.
It makes us feel better.
A genuine moment.
Sally, you were talking, well, I was asking you earlier about the difference between performing for television and performing for a live audience on stage.
Well, I'm even going to make that deeper, and then I'm going to tell you the difference between movies and theater and television. Theater, you have to, long before there were microphones that are strapped to our heads underneath
yes.
our wigs, but you had to learn to project, and you had to talk loudly enough to reach the back row. And you also have to gesture enough to reach the back row. And if you're making a face, you know, accommodate the people at the back of the theater. And so you do everything larger than life on stage just so that everyone understands what's going on. Then when you do television, you dial that back. And you're now on the small screen, or at least all on the Family days, we were on the small screen. Now people have movie-sized screens in their home. But you do things a little smaller because the camera's in tighter and it's going to catch your facial expressions, and you can do a lot less. And then when you're in film, you've got to dial it way back because it's going to be played on a screen in a movie theater so large that you can just barely twitch one eye, and it's going to be
and
a huge gesture in a movie. So you can't ham it up like you do on stage. But the difference between all of those is that if you're making films, you're probably making the most money of anybody on the planet. And if you do television, you're making good money, but you know, you're not getting rich. At least back in my day of doing series, you weren't. And if you're doing stage, you're not making any money
at all.
So you have to do it for the love of theater. And I think it separates the men from the boys, because when you make a movie, the director is going to save you on the set. He's going to let you do another take and another take to you get it right. Then it gets sent to an editor, and an editor picks the finest moments. And when that baby's put together and out in the movie theaters, people are credited with brilliant performances that have been pieced together, all their finest moments. And in theater, you've got to go out and start a performance, and 2.5 hours later, maybe you're done, and you can't stop, and you can't ask for a line, and you can't ask for help, and you're not supposed to break character. And that's not for sissies. There are a lot of movie actors that would never set foot on the stage because they can't memorize 80 pages of dialogue. They just can't do it. They can memorize 3 pages because that's all they're going to shoot on Monday. And then they get to throw those away and never have to remember them again. But when you do theater, you have to remember 2.5 hour play.
And not only your lines, but where to move and how to interact and where to go.
Your path backstage, which is just as important as what you do on stage. There's a lot going on.
And how to cover up for mistakes. And and so each performance in live theater, it sounds, is just unique because different is going to happen.
Well, you have a different audience.
And how does that make a difference?
Oh, good Lord. It's tremendous. Depending on how an audience reacts to what you think of as a joke, this is going to be funny on stage. It just depends on the audience. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. Or it could be, do you get a 1 second laugh? Do you get a 5 second laugh? You get a 10 second laugh? You have to adjust constantly. And you feel them on stage. Even in silences, you know whether an audience is listening with you or not. And that changes with each one.
And I've grown older, and with that I've gotten crankier. And when an audience isn't reacting to the comedy, I want to get in one of those swimsuits like those girls do at the boxing match, and they come out in the middle of the ring holding up a sign, you know,
yes.
Round 7. I want to come out with a gigantic sign and walk across the stage in a bathing suit and high heels, and I want my sign to say, "We can't hear you when you're smiling." Or another sign I want to carry out the next time is, "Are you an audience or an oil painting?"
Wow.
I mean, I just, there are a lot of audiences that don't understand that live theater is reciprocal. And the actors on stage are waiting for you to react appropriately. If you're doing a very serious play, you expect silence and you don't want to hear candy wrappers and cell phones going off. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing comedy, you want to hear laughter. And if the audience isn't giving anything back, they start to suck all your energy out of you.
You're right about that. If you're sitting in your living room watching television, you're up and down and not really engaged, or in a movie theater,
right.
It's very different than live theater.
But you know what's interesting? Because of our this day and age of a lot of video games and everything,
yes.
Technology is right at your disposal.
And in your hand.
Everybody's at home watching every possible television show. I've witnessed audiences at the theater, especially at Riverside, they forget sometimes. It's like they're sitting in their own living room watching their TV show, so they become less vocal. I think audiences have changed over the years. They're not as reciprocal as maybe they were.
And they don't
years
realize
ago
it's a you know, participatory sport.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to theater,
exactly, and they make themselves more comfortable. I mean, we have a heck of a time. You know, we make an announcement before the show starts. We please turn off all cell phones.
Yes.
But we've had to also say, and please refrain from texting.
Yes,
because people will turn those phones off. They'll put it on vibrate or whatever, but they've still got those iPhones to their, you know, available to them. So it's distracting.
And you can see those flashing lights from the stage. We know you're out there.
Yeah. They think they're hiding it, even in a movie theater. They think they're hiding, but light is so bright.
You know, and so how can you be invested, or how can you be participatory if you're constantly distracted about what's going on in your life? And therefore, the audiences have changed. They're, you know, it's not like years ago where you're not at home to answer your telephone, or you're not at your office. You're there. and you're 100% invested in the show that you're seeing. Nowadays, they're sort of there, but they're sort of, I got to make sure the kids are okay. I've got to make sure what's going on in my life. Got to check my email, you know.
And at the same time, I think many audience members, that's what they enjoy about going to the theater, because it is one of the few places where they can really focus on one thing, that which is happening on stage. There's something about a live performance which grabs your attention and draws you into it in a way that sitting at your home watching a television does not. You do feel like you can get up and go make popcorn in the kitchen, that sort of thing. But when you're in the theater, there's a certain energy that's coming from live performance that draws people in. And I think that's one of the great appeals of theater for people.
We're talking about 9 to 5, which is at Riverside Theater until May 3rd, starring Sally Struthers and Tom Simpson. And we're going to be right back for a final discussion.
Stratford Hall, the land, the lives, the legacy. Plan your visit at stratfordhall.org.
How about a shoe store that's more than just about selling shoes? A shoe store that believes in giving back to the community. From their big back-to-school giveaways for low-income kids to their annual holiday Shoes for the Needy program, Saxon Shoes has always been about more than just shoes. It's also about service and commitment to you during the entire shopping experience. At Saxon, customer satisfaction is taken very seriously. The Saxon selection is unmatched, with staffers making recommendations about new products, delivering the service you deserve every time. When you visit Saxon Shoes, you walk through the doors into Shoe Utopia. Ladies, Saxon carries the brands you care most about. Sam Edelman and Stuart Weitzman, Nine West and Jack Rogers, Dansko, Toms, Pandora and Vera Bradley. And for the more discerning men, discover Allen Edmonds, Echo and Rockport, SAS, Clarks, Sperry Topsiders and Johnston and Murphy. Come shop the Saxon Shoe experience and discover the Saxon difference at the Village at the Spotsylvania Town Center and in the Short Pump Town Center in Richmond. Saxon Shoes, always the perfect fit.
Stratford Hall, the land, the lives, the legacy. Plan your visit at stratfordhall.org.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore, so you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today, so it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Some of America's bravest warriors are returning home wounded. Here's one of them.
My name is Norberto Lara. I served for 11 years. A rocket propelled grenade. You don't have to be severely wounded to be with the Wounded Warrior Project. My name is Norby, and yes, I do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Don't suffer in silence. Contact WoundedWarriorProject.org.
News Talk 1230. WFVA.
Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. From Fredericksburg.today online news, Susan Larson.
We're talking about 9 to 5, which is at the Riverside Theater until May 3rd. And Patrick Ahern is the producing artistic director who's going to fill us in about the show and how you can see it.
Well, if you want to see something that's loads of fun, great cast, great music written by the great Dolly Parton. We've got Sally Struthers on stage. We've got Tom Simpson on stage. The three girls on stage are terrific, and I'm not going to tell you how, but you also get to see Dolly Parton as well. You want to get over to Riverside and see 9 to 5, the musical. It's nothing but laughs, great fun, and I'll tell you something. I mean, we are becoming packed. Every performance is pretty much full, so don't wait. I know there's 7 weeks left, but 7 weeks goes quickly. We have typically 5 shows a week, so you want to get your reservation in now and get in there and get your tickets.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Matinees on Wednesday and Sunday. Evening shows Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And you need to call our box office at 540-370-4300, and they will take your calls to get you in to see 9 to 5. Yep.
And you have a website?
RiversideDT, as in dinner theater, .com. Yes, and great meal as well. You know, it's the whole package. You get your dinner, get your show, and yeah, it's a great way to spend an evening or Sunday matinee or Wednesday matinee for theater here in Stafford County, Fredericksburg region. Absolutely.
And we're there till May 3rd, aren't we?
May 3rd, the show will run, yeah. So we have 7 weeks left.
And we've been laughing so much in just this this short time. It's got to be just so much fun.
Oh, the audiences walk out at the end of the night. You know, I greet them as they're leaving, and everybody just comes up and says what a ball they've had. And calls, and the Facebook comments, and, you know, it's great to see people in this area enjoying such great theater.
And Riverside Theater is on Facebook also. So you've got the website, you have
Facebook. I think we're Twitter. You know, we're all over the social media. So,
but make your reservations. I'm sure after today's conversation, we're going to have some sellouts because we are having so much fun. Sally, when Patrick was talking, you were cheering him on. You want people to come see 9 to 5.
I really do. You know, a major effort went into putting this show together. From the inception of it and Patrick getting the rights to do it at the theater, to the casting of it, to the 2 months of rehearsal, because the people in it that are from around this region have daytime jobs, and so they can only come to rehearsal at night. And normally, if I do an Actors' Equity production of all the actors in the show being members of Actors' Equity, the theater union, those are people that can rehearse 8, 9, 10 hours mm-hmm. a day. And so you get a week or 2 weeks to rehearse something and you put it on. But the people in this show are coming from other jobs so that we get less rehearsal per day, but the rehearsal period is much longer. And it's a huge labor of love. And the end result is you see it on the stage. You see how well it all came together because of all the hours and love that everybody put in it. It's so worthwhile. I have to tell you a funny story. I was doing the musical Grease, and we were doing it in Orlando, Florida. And a friend of mine lives there, Donna, and she works at Disney World there. And she had a son who's about 20 years old at the time. And she said he'd like to bring his roommate and come see the show. I said, I'll get him tickets. So afterwards, she couldn't wait to tell me the story. So her son sits down in the theater with his buddy to watch Grease. And when we broke into the first song, he turned to his friend and said, why are they singing? And Donna's son said, this is a musical. He said, but people don't break out into song in real life. But this is a musical. He was so confused that we were singing. What did you think you were going to see? It's a musical.
Love musicals.
Susan, we're going to follow. You know, we got Dolly Parton's music. Until May 3rd, and then we kick off a new season. We have season 18, so we're coming to 18 years at Riverside Center, and we kick it off with Frank Sinatra. So we go from sort of country and Dolly to the standards and the greatest American crooner with all the music that he made popular. 56 songs of Sinatra will be opening at Riverside Center on May 9th. So, and we've got an excellent season. Coming up with The Wedding Singer. We're one of few theaters in the country to be granted the rights to Sister Act in the fall. Sally's
exciting.
Coming back at the holiday time to do MAME, and we're not certain something might change, but right now it's MAME, and then we've got the Buddy Holly story, and My Fair Lady will wrap up season 18.
That's so exciting.
Great, great stuff happening at Riverside Center. Yes.
So everyone, you need to get your reservations to see Sally and Tom in 9 to 5, running at the Riverside Center through May 3rd. It has been so much fun visiting with you all today.
Oh, it's a treat for
us. Yeah.
Thank you, Susan Larson, and welcome to the station. It's so nice to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for being my third day guinea pig. We've had a really good time. And again, I've been talking with Patrick Ahern, who's the producing artistic director at Riverside Center. Sally Struthers, thank you so much. It's been such an honor and so much fun. And Tom, thank you for the laughs. I look forward to seeing you in 9 to 5 through May 3rd. Get your tickets.
We're there.
Very good. This is Susan Larson on 1230 WFVA. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's program are advertising partners who have purchased commercial airtime on WFVA.